again, you beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of Game Pass Grab Bag, your weekly podcast reviewing games from the Game Pass collection, bringing you three perspectives varying skill range. I am the arse face of this episode, Andrew. With me, our chicken chaser, Keith.
Chasing chickens.
And, of course, our wonderful ranger, Liz.
Hey, guys.
And this week was Liz's slash poll listener pick. Liz, what did we play?
We played Fable. I never played it before. I was excited.
Yeah, so Fable comes from the former Lionhead Studios. May they rest in peace. Fable is a third-person action RPG that originally first debuted on the original Xbox, but this is the Fable Anniversary, so it was redone with slightly better textures. I say slightly. And it was re-released on the 360 with some of the DLC. So, Liz, was this a gamer pass for you?
I feel bad. This is another week where I'm kind of lukewarm, and I was really surprised, because this is right up my street, I feel like. I wanted to play The Witcher, but I also take into account that I feel like I was some kind of way this week. I didn't really want to play games, because I didn't end up playing The Witcher. Alyssa and I were talking to Andrew about Secret Neighbor, and that's my guilty pleasure game, and I didn't play that. So for me, I don't know if it was the game's fault, but I was just very meh, and I was surprised. So I guess a game by default?
I was expecting that to go completely differently.
I feel like you guys would never understand, like, not wanting to play a video game for, like, a week. But
oh, that's offensive.
I mean, it's true. Have you ever gone a week without video games? Unless you were on, like, a vacation or camping or something?
Yes.
No. Your face says no.
No.
Maybe I made it a couple days one time.
But it felt like a chore.
How about you, Keith?
So, I'm kind of actually with Liz on this one. Not so much in that I didn't want to play any games this week. I didn't really want to play this as much. And I liked Fable games. I think Fable 3 was probably my favorite one out of all of them.
That's insane. So many people hate Fable 3.
Isn't that... Well, we'll get into it, I guess. Also, ultimately, what I'm saying is, I think if you want to play the Fable series, this game is a must. If you're not interested really in the series as a whole, maybe just try one of the other Fable games, because I think they're a lot better. And this one's kind of just a pass for me. But not fully, because it's so good for a 360 game, but it's just not fun anymore.
So, going into this, I actually thought for sure I was actually give this a pass. Like, you know, it's a pretty old game, and is this something I can recommend to other hardcore gamers? But playing it again, I actually was having a lot of fun with this. I am actually giving it a game, and this also surprises me too, because to give a little bit of backstory, I actually kind of have a sour spot for Fable. I've always enjoyed the series, but I've always kind of been frustrated with it. So kind of to give a quick history, kind of a little bit of Fable. Fable's done by Lionhead Studios, and Lionhead Studios was run by a guy named Peter Molyneux. The best way to describe him, he's a dreamer. He was always a person who had very big, ambitious ideas and always had these great ideas for video games. And so growing up, I always read the Xbox magazine, and they always talked about Fable and all these things this game was going to have. It was supposed to be like an open world RPG. There was going to be friends, and basically, to get your character stronger, the more you lift rocks, the bigger they'd get. If you chop down a tree, that tree would be chopped down permanently. Like, there was these really big, ambitious ideas. And playing the game, I can see some of them made it, but a lot of it just, it felt short to me. Like, I remember when I first played this back in the old Xbox, I was so let down that Fable was like a sour spot for me. But I mean, I always at least respect Peter Molyneux's like visions, because every game he always came out with, he always had these promises he was doing and stuff, and they always felt short. I mean, the most recent one, I can't remember what it was called. It was like a god game. It was a puzzle. And the big shtick with that game was, if you beat the puzzle and figure it out, you will get 10% of the profits that the game made. So sure enough, somebody beat the game, and it's been years, and the guy said he's never gotten a check for the game. So, and I think since then, like, I've never even heard, like, Peter Molyneux just kind of disappeared. Granted, Lionhead Studios has also been gone. So I've always kind of had a sour spot for Fable, but playing so many RPGs now, Fable was a starter for a lot of common things that you see in RPGs. So,
like the cliche of the story, kind of?
A little bit, yeah. Kind of the morality system. The morality system was very new back in the original Xbox. The big games that did it were Fable, and then the other one was Mass Effect. Or not Mass Effect, Knights of the Old Republic. So it was still really early in the stages. Fable had, like, you know, this real estate things you can do, how you can murder your villagers. You have to make these big moral decisions. But like I said, this game unfortunately didn't flesh out a lot of their ideas and plans. So I don't know. I'm still a little sour in Fable, but replaying it, though, I actually thought it held up pretty well. But surprisingly, I still think the story is very flat in this game.
It is seen in, like, so many movies, TV shows, games. Somebody kills your family, you rise up. I mean, I was very disappointed.
Yeah. What's so disappointing about the story, whenever you play an RPG, 90% of RPGs are, oh, there's this big cataclysmic event going on and you have to save the world. But in this one, it's very much, as Liz said, some bandits killed your family, you're raised as an orphan, now you're a hero fighting bad guys. You don't really get to see the full gravity of the story until about, you know, 3/4 of the way through the game. Then it's like, oh, okay, this is the big bad guy. So I thought it was kind of weird that they did the story that way.
Well, you keep talking about the morality choices in the game. And at first, it's fun. The first one that I stumbled upon was you find a man cheating on his wife. And you can either tell the wife or he'll give you money to be quiet. But then Andrew told me later on that there are these temples and things that you can give money to and get rid of all your sin or whatever it is.
Yeah, the morality system, as interesting as it is in the game,
it doesn't mean anything.
It makes no sense.
So that's why I was kind of bummed, because I felt like I was building up this good character. And you immediately started out bad. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that if you could just, like, put some money into it, it was just kind of useless. And then the whole money system was just kind of weird. Like, you were playing the card games for me. I don't like gambling in games or, like, in real life. I'm not against it. I just don't like to do it. So he would, like, just get me a bunch of money playing a memory game and gambling my money. And I could just keep doing that and buy stuff. I don't know. I just felt like, eh.
I don't know. I feel like you can kind of find ways in just about any RPG that, I don't want to say you can break the monetary system, but you can usually find a couple loopholes. Some games do much better than others, obviously, but as a whole, RPGs, there's some point in the game where you can just kind of find a way to make way too much easy money. Found it actually a slow grind if you're trying to just earn the money, I guess. I never felt like I had enough. But like I said, I don't want to take away from everything that this game built on either. I think Fable did such a good job, like you said, laying all the groundwork for everything we've gotten in our RPGs to date. And that's why I really respect it as a game. I just was really bored with it. It just never felt like it was overly difficult and it was slow.
That's something I mentioned to Andrew. I felt like there needed to be different difficulty levels, because I was playing the game and there were times where, like, I got hit a bunch or whatever, but I didn't die at all. And for me, I was like, Andrew must be just, flying through this game.
Oh, yeah. It is not difficult at all. I remember even as a kid when I first played this on the original Xbox, I remember thinking this game was not hard. So playing it now, I'm just like, I'm maybe even getting to half health.
Yeah. I mean, I went through quite a few resurrection files, but that's another thing. It just those are easy to come by, and it just automatically resurrects you. So even if you die, like a couple times I died, and I was like, just didn't even realize it. Other than all of a sudden I had full health, and I couldn't figure out why. It's just I don't know. It wasn't overly challenging, and I think I just got bored with that aspect of it.
What happens if you go through all your vials? Do you just the game over?
You explode.
Your Xbox actually just destroys too. Shuts down.
I have no idea. I never got that far.
So it's actually good question, and you're mocking me because you don't know the answer.
I'm assuming it just tells you to reload your last checkpoint.
Yeah, kind of like, I'm assuming the same thing, but yeah, that's what happens when you fail a mission. Yeah. So I assume it's probably just treats it the same way and has you just go back. But you have to try pretty hard to make that happen, quite frankly.
You actually, like, purposely have to try. Because even the boss fights, I thought, were very easy.
Yeah.
The mechanics are very simple, but
building your, building up your abilities is also pretty simple.
They are.
I struggled with that color wheel for some reason. I was like, which ones do I use for my strength? And he's like, oh, this color. And I'm like, I don't get it.
I explained it to you like 4 times.
But other than that, it was very simple. Well, because I didn't see the numbers because I'm, like, kind of blind. So I just, there was a yellow bar, but I just assumed it was full when it said 0.
But I will say, Liz, I do give you a pass with this too, being a noob, and the fact that this game came on the original Xbox, a lot of people forget games that came on the original Xbox had a manual. And so, as me and Keith talked about in previous episodes, growing up as kids, we would read manuals like from cover to cover. And that's how you generally learned how to play a game. But this being re-released on Game Pass and on 360, there's no more manual. There is a manual in the game, but who's going to read through a bunch of texts while you're trying to play a game? You just want to play the game.
Isn't that the same as reading a manual?
Yes, but as you said, Keith, we would always read the manual when you're on your way home with the game and your parents driving the car. But yeah, I mean, nowadays, nobody wants to read a manual. We always are so attuned to having a tutorial, which this game has one, and it does a fine job, but it doesn't explain a lot of the nuances in the game. You know, the real estate, how marriage works, how relationships work, you know, how your experience kind of works and how you gain more of it.
Yeah, because I remember you were watching me play, and you told me to buy property so that I could rent it out, but no money was appearing, and eventually it appeared, but, like, I didn't really understand, like, the whole real estate aspect of it, but I do agree with the tutorial. I think they gave you, like, a little bit, and then it was up to you if you wanted to dive deeper. So, for instance, you could learn to use the bow and arrow, and you can keep training and then, like, kind of, like, get a grade. I didn't. I was just like, no, I got the basics.
I mean, I didn't either, because I also learned too back in the day. Yeah, at the beginning of the tutorial, when you're a kid, they're like, oh, do you want to explore more? Maybe try to make some money. I remember I did that, and they're like, oh, here's 50 gold. And I'm like, cool, 50 gold. But as soon as you become an adult, you're getting thousands of gold. So that 50 gold does absolutely nothing. You just wasted your time. So I already learned not to explore as a kid. Just get to an adult. Just get the game started.
Yeah, but I feel like doing that, though, that's their way of almost kind of saying, hey, do you want a little more tutorial, and we'll put some incentive behind it, or do you just want to go to the next stages of it? They don't ask you that way, obviously, but I feel like that's sort of what they were getting at, because I think I actually did do it, because it's been a long time since I've played one of these games, and I was like, yeah, whatever, I'll run around, and that's where, like, to Liz's point, where I ran into the guy who was cheating on his wife. And I took his bribe, and then I went and told his wife. So,
so Keith did both things.
Yeah, he's a scumbag. He's cheating on his wife. Smart. So I'm going to take his money, and I'm going to get him in trouble. What's he going to do? Hurt a kid? Yeah, he's in even worse trouble. Although he's a scumbag, so maybe he would. I don't know.
But I wanted to touch more on, like, the morality system. Because, as Liz was saying, it's really disappointing how easy you could switch between good and evil. You know, right now, I'm perfect good. I have a halo above my character, which that was another thing I thought was interesting about this game. Depending on what you are, your character looks different. If you're good, you're more bright.
If you're attractive, people have hearts.
Yeah, you have a halo above you. If you're evil, you have horns. You're darker looking, like you have red streaks. So, but it's easy to just switch. When you're playing a game, I don't know, like modern RPGs that have a morality system, you basically have to replay the entire game to see how it is to be good or how it is to be evil. Not in this game. Because even then, there's a couple big choices where you basically decide, does this person live or die? And with modern games, it very much drastically changes the story. In Fable, not so much. It's just every once in a while a character will be like, ah, you killed that person. But nothing changes. They still help you. They still, you know, carry on with your journey. Like, nothing happens.
Well, I mean, if I recall, even in the later Fable games, that's one thing that never changes, is that you could go and massacre a whole entire city and then go, here's a bunch of money, and they go, have a great day.
Kind of. They fixed it. It got better, especially by, like, Fable 3, when you're the king and you're making really big decisions on, like, how the planet, not the planet, but the land is going to be sculpted. Because there's some areas where it's like, oh, do you want to, you know, ravage this landscape to get its resources, to get a bunch of money. And it actually will drastically change the landscape. As you said, though, it is still true where, yeah, money fixes all the problems. And you just give all the money and then you're good again.
Money, please.
But yeah, I kind of want to talk about that. So you thought Fable 3 was your favorite? Do you remember that one? Because that was the one where you're king. Fable 2 is the one where you're the dog.
Ooh, I forgot about that. I feel like I might have even skipped Fable 2, if I'm honest. But Fable 3, that's the one that had, like, the road to destiny or something.
Yeah,
that's what I remember. And I just remember playing a ton of that game and just, I don't know, I thought it was a lot of fun. because it had like all of the mechanics that Fable had. And obviously, back in those days, I wasn't comparing games. I wasn't a non-famous podcaster and all, but I at least remembered thinking like this is just a lot more fun, and it felt better.
I didn't mind Fable 3 either. Like, I know a lot of people say it's the weakest in the series. I think I probably enjoyed Fable 2 the most, but Fable 3, like, I didn't think it was the worst.
Well, it's hard to argue with the doggo, so
I
Fable 2 is
know.
basically always going to win. But I think a lot of the hatred for Fable 3 or any of the Fable games, it's exactly what you said. These games were hyped up to be, you step on a blade of grass and, you can, it's the butterfly effect of the world. And instead, it's like, do you want to stop this bully from punching someone? Yes, punch.
That's
And that was
you
the
started
morality.
them.
Yeah, I mean, that's entertaining though. I mean, that's always going to earn at least 2 or 3 points in a game for me if I can fart at somebody,
Speaking of farting, I wanted to get a little bit of the mechanics.
Oh,
And
I thought you were going to talk about my fart. Go on.
I felt like the controls in Fable are very early. Like, after playing so many RPGs now and they're, seeing so many games that have been so well refined, I thought the controls were pretty awful in Fable. You're given like 20,000 emotes, and it is awful to try to scroll through them to select one just to so you can fart or belch or, grab your crotch in front of somebody. It would just take so long. It was the most convoluted system to just do expressions that I never did the expressions unless there's an achievement behind it.
Yeah, I didn't go out of my way to look up achievements for it. I just didn't waste a lot of time with them. I used my sword and my bow as my expressions.
I stumbled upon them, but because I was trying to figure out how to deter this bully without, accidentally killing him, I ended up accidentally getting rid of some of my money. And then after that, I found the farting. But I guess I tried
That's a
to bribe
strange series
him.
of events. I lost some money, and then I learned farting.
Which, with the fighting, did you guys ever have your camera like swing on you?
Yes.
And then I would try to lock on someone and it would lock on to somebody else. Like, it was really, really weird how all of a sudden, like, I'm looking on the other direction.
Yeah, this is definitely where Fable also shows its age, is in the combat. It's very simplistic, but it is also very janky. Like, the rolling is right bumper, which is very odd because most of us are used to it being either A or B, but it's not. You do have a sword, a bow, and magic. But the magic, once again, is another convoluted system. It was very difficult to kind of scroll through your spells. It's not like you can be like fireball, now lightning, now summon, now heal. Like, you can't do things really quickly. You basically pick one spell and stick with it for the most part. And so, yeah, the combat is very janky. So, in the end, I don't know about you guys, all I basically did was the sword.
Yeah, but you kept telling
Pretty
me I
much.
needed to up my arrow usage so that I could unlock things. So
Yes.
I would do it for that, but I wanted to use my sword or whatever weapon it is that I bought. And I like that you could put enchantments on the swords too, which is fun.
Yeah. What I would say, see, for me, I was the opposite. I got so annoyed with the sword combat of this game because the targeting system is so bad. And again, it's early, and so I give that a grain of salt, but it was so frustrating when I'm trying to fight this giant golem who's not even moving, and I just can't get my character to lock on when I'm focused on him. You try to lock on and he turns around on you. Heaven forbid, even worse with actually the bows, but it was best as I could. I just leveled up my shooting and I would sit back and just pick people off. And it was effective because if you would hold up your power shot, if you stayed ahead of your, you could basically always overlevel yourself for this game if you
Oh,
wanted
yeah.
to.
Oh, definitely.
So it just became a point where, yeah, I just got to that point and then just sat back and rained arrows because you had an unlimited number too. So why bother?
Yeah, by the end of the game, your character becomes like a literal god. Like, nothing touches you. You basically destroy everything in a couple hits. Your character just gets very powerful at the end. I mean, I didn't have too much of a difficulty with the lock-on system. Once I kind of figured out how the jankiness works of it, I found it simple enough. I will say it's at least nice that if you're swinging your sword in a group of bad guys and good guys, you're not hitting the good guys unless you specifically target the good guys. So I at least liked I wasn't getting punished for just kind of throwing stuff around. But I mean, going back to like how you're saying though with like the bone arrow, Keith, this is another thing that kind of frustrated me with Fable. Is most RPGs, you build your character. Oh, I want to be a brute. I want to be a mage. I want to be a ranger. It didn't matter in Fable. You were all things all the time. You were all three. It didn't matter. So I never felt like there was much character customization.
On this point, though, of targeting, you know, you have to actually target a, I guess, non-enemy is the best way to put it. Even that, sometimes if you target them, the red surroundings of them... going, is that really an enemy? Is that not? And then I went, you know what? It's not really worth it to try and figure out. I'm in a battle. I'm just going to let this arrow go and hopefully they're good. If they're not, I'll go give some money to somebody.
Well, you say that you had to be all three. I didn't really use magic that much.
Yeah, you don't have to, but regardless though, you could still level up your magic.
Yeah,
like that's what I mean.
True. But I wonder if there's anybody who did focus on magic. Because for me, I didn't really want to, like, learn and, like you said, scroll through all the different things. So I wonder if there's anybody that went that route.
The only way I could think you could do it is if you played on PC. Because actually, on PC, you can actually hotkey, you know, the spells. That makes it a lot more easy, obviously, because you have more buttons. But the mana system, I think, is just really difficult to just be a mage. Because you go through mana pretty stinking quick.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the mana.
Yeah.
Which I was also just thinking of combat because I really like the fight rings and... Did I say that wrong?
No, that's all right.
I really like the fight rings, but it also made me realize that it is really hard to use the map. Because for me, I was like, where's the barber? And then Andrew pointed out that it has like the typical like barber thing in front. But for me, I didn't really know where anything was. And I didn't even know about the fight ring until Andrew told me about it. And so for me, I thought that the map needed to show things, where things were.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed.
Why?
Everyone knows the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
And now you just talked about it on our podcast. It's very...
Gosh, you're out. Now I'm out because, gosh, Liz, you've ruined me.
I will say, and not to throw you under the bus, Andrew...
I knew you were going to bring this story up.
I debated because it sounds like very braggy, but it's very rare that I get to like one-up Andrew in any type of video game. But the second round, the second Fight Club that I found, I beat it in one go. And he was like, dang, I failed the first time. And I was like, I beat Andrew in something.
No, I said failed it three times.
The punchy punch rings with a shirtless bald guys, right?
Yeah, that's what you said.
You were telling me to roll. I didn't dodge at all. I just went in swinging. That was my technique.
Yeah. Well, why would you go in strategically on that? You just go in guns a-blazing. When I'm talking about guns, I'm talking about this boy and this boy.
That's why.
Yeah, to everyone who's not on the visual medium of Game Pass Grab Bag, that is me tapping my giant biceps.
Giant. I like you trying to paint a picture for everyone of what you look like. Nice try, Keith. But yeah, I do agree, Liz. The map is, once again, another thing that kind of shows its age. So with this being the original Xbox, it was very commonplace to have a map broke up into a bunch of tiny little areas. And that's how Fable's done. Which I know it was bothering you, Liz, because every time you have to load, there's a loading screen.
Because the maps are, like you said, so, so tiny. And when you're constantly going through towns, and just in general, like, I just thought when you hit the menu button, everything was so slow.
See, for me, the loading didn't bother me, because since this game's so old, the loading literally was like 2 seconds each time I did it.
It was more than 2 seconds. And like I said, even the menu, when you want to look at your quests and map and everything like just took a hot minute, and I just, there was too much load screens.
Surprisingly, it didn't bother me.
Too many.
I do admit there was quite a bit, but they were quick.
Yeah, see, I'm in the middle on this. It annoyed me because of how frequently it happened. I wasn't bothered by the amount of time. It was more the fact that in a matter of, you know, 15 minutes, I could go through 15, 10-second load screens. I'd rather take one 3-minute load screen.
Me too.
And then play for a half hour uninterrupted than play for 30 minutes and... load a total of like 5 minutes over the course of 20 times. It's just, it was too much. But I think that's, it goes back to a showing its age thing. I just don't think they could populate as much. And at its time, it was really kind of ahead of the curve, I think, on graphics. So
yeah,
I get why it was done at that point. And having the Xbox One was, I think, really the saving grace of it, because I'm sure those load screens were probably 30 seconds to a minute back when we were playing it in, you know, 2003 or whatever this was.
Yeah.
I think there were a lot of little things in the game that bothered me too. So for instance, I thought the save in this game was awful because they had the autosave and your checkpoints. But if you manually saved, there was a 50% chance it wouldn't save. And then I kind of had to remember what I had done and what I hadn't done at that point.
See, I'll admit I had no issues with the saving. I saw
I
with
shut
you.
It off every time I was done.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just went with autosaves.
I never really had much of an issue with the saving. I will admit, though, I did see you, Liz, like, you try to reload a checkpoint, and it was, like, extra far. Like, it didn't save a while for you.
They should not have a manual save if you can't save it where you are. Just have it do the autosave or the last checkpoint kind of thing, but don't make it seem like you can actually save the game wherever you are, because you can't.
It did for me. It
didn't for me. I think maybe, like, 2-3 times it did. But other than that, it never saved me where I was. So for me, that really grinded my gears. And that with the load screens, that's why, like, I would play for a little bit and I was just like, I think I'm done for the night.
Yeah, see, I thought it was longer than it was, and I still don't like it, I will say. But I thought it was, and then I started to try and, like, bring up my phone and play a game. And by the time I had opened my phone and, like, opened the game I wanted to play, I'd be loaded again. So it really wasn't long. Like, I didn't have time to do things in between. It was just too often.
Yeah, and it would take you out of the game.
I think what it would have been nice is, since this was sort of a remastered version, if they could have done a little more melding of that. But I don't know. I'm not that smart. I don't know what it takes to do that in the coding database worlds. That's the technical term if you're not sure.
So I don't know how much you guys kind of played around with the open world aspect of the game. But did you guys find it enjoyable at all? Because, I mean, for me, like, I will say the designs of the towns are generally pretty awful. They don't really feel like real towns. They're really just small. Like, you have some people kind of wandering about, but I don't know. It was frustrating.
It felt small.
It did. But you did have the option to kind of break into stores or pickpocket people. But it did not work well. Like, you could stealth a little bit, and there was an indicator showing if, like, people could witness you. But the systems was just so janky that if I needed to steal something, I would just kill a person. If I needed to break into a store, instead of lockpicking it, I would just destroy the door, then pay the 100 gold fine, not a big deal, and then go in the store and steal everything.
Which they, not to go back to the morality system, but I remember stealing from a bookcase, and I got so many evil points, and then I did something really good, and I got, like, one. And I was like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, the scaling kind of was a little off. You steal, like, a book, that's 5 evil points. You kill a bandit, that's 2 good points. And it's just, I don't know, it was a little weird.
And then I remember I accidentally bribed a guard. I didn't even know what I was doing.
You lost, like, all your money.
And then Andrew's like, just go back to the last checkpoint. And that's when that failed me.
Yeah.
I remember that, but...
Yeah, I think was that when you had to bribe the bandit guard? Because I think I did that the first time because I just didn't really feel like fighting my way through their blockade. And then I came back later and I just wiped it clean and carried on with my life.
This was just mashing A and then ended up paying a guard randomly.
That sounds right. But all in all, I don't know. I didn't do any of the stealing and looting.
You didn't get married?
No, I kind of just followed... Ironically enough, because they like to throw it in your face, I just kind of felt like I followed the on-rail system a lot of it. And then, like, I would go back and I'd try to do a side mission or two here and there, but the like waypoints and stuff for hot or fast travel were few and far between. And then either way, you got to travel through 4 or 5 different places. It's not easy to tell where you are on the map. Unless, I don't know, can you still get Xbox Smart Glass? Because they
you
kept
cannot.
Trying to get me. Because I tried, yeah,
yeah.
All right, because I tried downloading it and
it is no longer supported.
Because that would have been nice.
Yeah.
Because back in the day when they redid this, they had Smart Glass, like that was a thing. You could have like a little secondary tablet or your phone open and you could play along with it open on the game. And that would have felt so much nicer, but I just didn't like really having to go off path of just keep marching forward and take the next story mission.
Yeah, I was really bummed on that. Yeah, they kept throwing your face like, oh, there's a smart glass app that, reveals locations of secrets and everything. But yeah, I kept looking up online. I finally found out that, yeah, it's no longer supported, which is unfortunate because it's an achievement to literally sign on in the smart glass, so you can't get that achievement anymore. But yeah, it really would have been so much better just to kind of have like a map. I, for the most part, didn't have much of an issue. Granted, I played this when I was younger, so I actually remembered some of these locations. But I fully agree with you, Keith. The fast travel was few and far between. That was my biggest gripe, was the fast travel. Like, there was two zones that had a fast travel like next to each other, but then there's like a huge gap where there's no fast travel in the middle of it. And it's like, well, I want to be in the middle of it. Like, why couldn't you put a fast travel there? So that was one thing that was frustrating me. But I for the most part, didn't have much of an issue navigating the map. But like I said, it's more probably because I remember them. The next thing I wanted to bring up, since this is the Fable anniversary, it has some improved textures and graphical designs.
Sure.
What did you guys think of them?
I think this
Sure.
game has the most terrifying child I've ever seen in my entire life. I always compare games to like The Hare in Just Cause 4, and I didn't realize how bad it could go. Like, this game
Hair wasn't
has the
bad.
scariest people.
It's the eyes. The eyes in this game are
That
terrifying.
child, like that, you hate like, ghost children and stuff in movies. Like, I feel like that would have traumatized you.
Oh no, it did. When you had it up on the 70-inch screen of this kid with these giant bug eyes, no, I do admit it was bad.
You know what it reminded me of? And this is a pretty specific reference, but if you remember the music video for Black Hole Sun, minus the melting faces, just all of the facial features looked very just fake and plastic. And you're right, the kids. I couldn't tell if someone was 7 or 70 in this game. There was really no way of telling. And I know I'm jumping a little bit ahead on this, but it's on topic. The voices were just as atrocious because there's the one quest that you go and you find the little kid and save him. He screams at the highest pitch possible every time something is near him about how he wants his mommy, and then he gets out and he sounds like me. It's like,
You do
thanks
sound
for
like a
helping
kid.
me, but well, I guess maybe that's part of it. But he gets out and he's like, hey, thanks for helping me, bud. Wait, what? Like, I was just waiting for it to be like, gotcha, I'm just been a small person this whole time. Like in a movie, you know?
See, I complained about it to Andrew. He's like, this game is really cheeky, but this guy had the most annoying, I don't know how to appropriately say it, but like.
It was dopey.
No, he sounded like a child molester, like in every TV show and movie. But he just had this very nasally, like artificial voice that nobody would have. And I couldn't stand it. It actually irritated me.
I think the reason why it didn't irritate me, I don't know if it's the same voice actor, but the voice sounded exactly like the peons from Warcraft. So anyone who's ever
Yeah.
played Warcraft,
Yep.
yep, okay, like that kind of voice, that's exactly what the guy sounded like. So for me, playing Warcraft, I heard that voice hours in my ears. So hearing it in this game, it didn't bother me at all. I think that's probably why. But yeah, he was just this really dopey kind of, you need to do this for me. And I thought, I don't know, it just didn't bother me.
Well, he
But
also screwed me over, so it was just like, this man
and you try
just
to kill
screwed
him,
me
but he ran
over.
away. I mean, the voice acting for me, I do agree. It is kind of all over the place. It's generally the kids. The kids, I do think, were the worst. Graphically, voice-wise,
The fake
awful.
accents, they had to be fake.
Yes.
They just maybe had weird child labor laws about voice acting back in those days or something. I don't know.
It's very possible. I don't know. Just to get back though a little bit for graphics though, the thing I really was impressed with, I do think, yes, character models and facial features, kind of meh. I loved the armor and the weapons, and for the most part, the environment. I thought the environment was okay. Showed its age a little bit, but I thought it did a good job, like having a nice variety of environments. But overall, I loved the armor sets. I thought they actually looked really cool. I really liked the design of the weapons, especially when you start getting to the legendary weapons. I thought they did a fantastic job with those things.
See, it was very hit and miss with me for the graphics. There were some things that I genuinely liked, and then other things that actually kind of, I think, took away points for me because I felt like it took away from the game. like when I was saying earlier, like I wanted to play Witcher. I think it is just very dated, and I think that really bothered me when I was playing it.
But that's why I think it's also so surprising, because obviously I have played numerous RPGs, modern and old, and for me, like, I didn't feel that way. Actually, surprisingly, this made me want to go and play Fable 2 or another game like Fable that is very close to my heart, Kingdoms of Amalur. If anyone has never played that game, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. It's being re-released soon on Xbox, but it made me want to play those games because those are like fun third-person action RPG kind of games.
Well, I think the reason why it really took me out of the game is it was also the horrible frame rate issues that I was having.
I got it sometimes too.
I don't think I've ever really experienced with a game before. I could be wrong if you've listened to the last episodes and I've said it before, but I don't remember ever having this, so I feel like it made the camera just look very wobbly, and like for me, that really played into my dislike of the graphics.
I will say, though, that may not so much be an issue with Fable as it is with Xbox. Because we're playing the Fable Anniversary, this is supposed to be playing on an Xbox 360. So it's kind of like an emulator being played on the Xbox One. So it doesn't sometimes play properly when you're playing on a different console that it's not meant to be the original console.
But for instance, we played Perfect Dark, and there weren't any of those issues.
Yeah, it doesn't always happen, but I know that that can sometimes cause issues.
I'm just saying, combined with the graphics, it was a big minus for me.
Yeah. So as we were saying, the voice acting I think is a little hit or miss, but I actually forgot how much I really enjoy Fable music. Like Fable's opening music, the like main menu of like this like chorus, really kind of like whimsical. It just feels like a really good fantasy soundtrack. I forgot actually how great Fable soundtrack is. And I think it still holds up really well.
It's funny because I feel like I didn't notice it at all.
Oh. I didn't either. Usually,
oh my gosh.
I kind of want to go back now because usually I do, but yeah, I don't know. Nothing seemed to really drag me in. It didn't annoy me. I'll say that.
Yeah, it does a really good job because it really does a nice tone of it being a fantasy, but it actually feels like music that you hear like through a story. And that's essentially what this game is supposed to be. It's supposed to be like it telling a fable, a story time.
Is that why they called it Fable?
Yeah, I know. It just blew your mind. I think they just absolutely nailed it with the soundtrack. And even to the day, I think it holds up really well. You guys need to go back and listen to it. You guys disappoint me so much sometimes.
I probably will. I'll go back and give it a quick listen. I don't know. It didn't bother me at all. I know that for sure. But I think I was just too annoyed with everywhere I went. Everyone was just cheering for me. And I mean, I'm used to that in the real world, but that's what I like about video games is I can escape that.
They kept calling you Chicken Chaser.
Chicken Chaser? Chasing chickens, are ya?
And that actually reminds me of a quick thing that I remember I hated even when I was younger. Because I remember when this game came out talking about titles you earn in this game. But you don't really earn them. You just pay money. Like, you could literally buy money, the title please. To be... But, so of course the title I picked, because I saw it going through, it was the cheapest title, but I picked Arseface. And I was like, oh, that's essentially what Liz calls me all the time.
Wow, just throw me under the bus, why don't
you? You call me Butthead.
Yeah, but she says it like she's from Boston and she drops the R. But,
I picked Ranger because Walker, Texas Ranger, of course.
Even though you never used your bow.
I did use my bow. And Walker Texas Ranger doesn't use a bow.
He uses guns.
We're talking about Chuck Norris. Well, he uses his legs of fury.
Yeah, he has used a gun in the show. Andrew. But he primarily uses his fists and his feet.
And justice.
Yeah. But he never uses a bow, I don't think.
I bet he uses a bow.
He fought a bear.
You find me in... I'm going to find an episode where Walker, Texas Ranger...
I have the DVDs. We can have a Walker, Texas Ranger party.
You're welcome, Andrew.
We could do a Walker podcast.
They'll threaten me with a good time.
Wow, this is getting heated. But yeah, I did stay with Chicken Chaser because, you know, I just didn't want to... I thought it was stupid to buy money. Yeah, I don't know what we're talking about either, but I wanted to talk about me being a Chicken Chaser because I didn't feel like it was worth it to spend a single... piece of gold on a name.
I'm kind of upset that I didn't get any tattoos. I really wanted to. But I never found the guys, like, on my travels, and I didn't really feel like looking for them.
They're always, like, on the streets, you know, because that's how you normally get tattoos. You just walk on the streets, you're like, hey, buddy, you want to give me a tattoo? And they give you a tattoo. It's just like real life.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, so this being the anniversary collection, it has DLC that originally was paid, but it's called Fables of the Lost Chapter, and I thought that segment of the game was absolutely pointless. It added, like, two, three hours of gameplay, but it adds, like, five new areas, a couple new enemies. But story-wise, it was so unnecessary, and I was so disappointed in it. But there's still some cosmetic DLCs you can buy, which were, like, $5. I remember when this game first came out and I saw that they did that. I was like, who would ever do that? But now it's, like, so commonplace with any game you play that if you want to spend money and get, like, cosmetics, you can do that.
Do you still have to pay money?
Yeah. They're, like, $5. Yeah. I know, which I thought was kind of disappointing. It's like, why is this in the anniversary collection? Like, why didn't they just give it to you?
With the graphics the way they are, like, who would pay for that now?
I don't know. People who like cosmetics.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to judge you.
No, but I also do remember that. I can't remember if it was Fable 1 or Fable 2. I'm pretty sure it was Fable 2, but they actually got in hot water back in the day because one of the stipulations for achievements, Microsoft said that you are supposed to be able to achieve all the achievements with the base game, that you don't have to spend money to basically get achievements. And in Fable 2, they said, screw you, Microsoft. And there was actually a handful of achievements that were locked behind a paywall. And so they ended up kind of getting sued for it and stuff. But luckily, this time around, the Anniversary Collection does not have that issue, except for the smart glass, like I said, because it's no longer supported. But I actually loved the achievements in Fable. Because
they are pretty great.
One, they're funny, and they're two, they're fun, and three, a lot of the achievements you can actually get in multiple different ways. So I actually highly recommend this game for achievement hunters.
Can you give an example? Because I didn't look them up.
Yes. So there's one. The achievement is called Open Sesame Middle Finger, and you can either do it two ways: open all the demon doors naturally, or just go up to a demon door and flip it off, and you get the achievement. There's another one where it says, this game's definitely not on rails, is what the achievement's called, and there's two ways to get it. You either explore every region in the game, or be as big as the world. So if you just eat a bunch of food and make your character super fat, you get the achievement. So I actually thoroughly enjoyed the humor in the achievements. Me and Keith, we were talking about the assassin achievement.
Ass Creed.
Yeah, where you dress up as an assassin and fart. It says, be an assassin, silent but deadly.
Yeah, that's one thing I did find funny. I just have to throw this out. I'm could find the episode, but there was one that I said I thought you were going to like the achievements because they were fun. They made you play the game in different ways, and you went, nope, that's true, but you don't get the achievements quick and easy. And now you're saying it's an achievement hunter game. I'm not arguing with you on the overall idea of it because the achievements are cool in this game, but I think it does come with a good chunk of time. Maybe some of them are pretty easy, but as an overall number, I put 10-ish hours into this game and came away with, what, 150 points? Now, I didn't try to get some. I'm sure I could have probably upped that by about 150 points or so, but all the same.
Oh, my word. You are not efficient in this game. I put 12 hours in this game, and I'm at 840 gamer score.
Okay, then that's on me.
I came in last place. I got 135, but I didn't even see them popping up. I wasn't paying attention to it.
135, so yeah, you're like right with Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not exactly like but I blew you out of the water there.
I did not put 10 hours into it.
So, I mean, if you just kind of look at the achievements, and as we said, it would have been great if the smart glass still existed, because the smart glass, yeah, reveals the locations of things, and you could actually learn like how to do some of these achievements. It would have been so much better. I will say, though, I thought the achievements actually were a lot of fun.
I definitely won't argue with that, just because I was looking through them, but yeah.
But getting to our final thoughts, Liz, what'd you think of Fable Anniversary?
Oh man, I'm going first?
It's your game. I like this is like a new thing for you every time we do this.
Because
it's new for Liz every 3 weeks.
I always feel bad, especially this game. I thought I was really going to like it. And my original score seems very low, and I feel bad about it. I wanted to give it a 75. I'm going to give it a 77, because I'm really unsure if I liked it or not. I think it was...
I don't think you did. It was a struggle for you to play.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 75. I'm going to give it a 75, because it was a chore. I didn't want to. I would rather do housework than play this.
Dang. So 75 is still, like, I feel like high then.
Because I didn't... I wasn't...
This is a 40.
Irritated.
So does this mean you give Housework at least a 76 or better out of 100?
Oh my gosh.
Because that's still a pretty high ranking.
What's my scoring? I don't know.
I feel like it's a 40.
Well, because there were things that I liked. Like, I liked the humor. I originally liked the morality system, but then that kind of just disappeared. So, maybe I'll give it a 68. I'm going to give it a 68. Final answer.
Okay.
Because I do think that, I mean, for the game that it is, the time that it came out, like, I feel like it would be mean to give it a 40 because at the time it came out, it really was a good game. I think it's held up enough that I'm not going to give it, like, an F.
Yeah.
What are you guys going to give it? Because I don't know.
See, I'm with Liz on this, and I, having played it back when it came out and having played it today, I think, I kind of like we did with Perfect Dark, I kind of want to give it 2 scores. Like, if I think about this back in 2005, if I was playing this game, I probably would have put 30 hours into it, easy. Or maybe tried to, if I could have found enough things to do, I guess. But I would have put so many hours into this game. But now with the available games out there, with the newer Fables available on Game Pass, I don't see a lot of point in playing it unless you want to play the full Fable series. So 2005 me says this game's in like an 85. Today me says this is like a 65 at best to pick up and play for just a pick up and play game.
Yeah, because I don't have any nostalgia for it. I didn't play this. So.
Man, you guys are harsh. So
I think I'm being very fair.
So for me, I'm going to give this an 80. It, like we said, there are plenty of moments where it shows its age. But if you're looking for a light RPG, like that's another thing I feel like we're not like kind of focusing on too. A lot of, if you're playing an RPG nowadays, you're looking at well over 40, 50 mm-hmm. plus hours. This, the, I forgot to actually mention, the time to beat average is 12 and a half hours. That's not a very long game. So if you're looking for a simple kind of light RPG, this game is perfect. It's very simple. It's not difficult. It's something you can really kind of just breeze through and just have a fun, relaxing time with it. It is really cool to kind of see this time capsule of a game and see where a lot of modern RPGs have gotten a lot of ideas from. So it's, I think it's a solid 80. I think it still holds up really well. I felt like I was enjoying it a lot more than I was Perfect Dark, because Perfect Dark came out, you know, Nintendo 64. This is an original Xbox, and I think it still holds up.
What did I rate Perfect Dark actually for a current day rating? I need to find that out because this is way more fun than Perfect Dark. And Perfect Dark wasn't terrible, but I did have way more fun.
I think you gave Perfect Dark like a 30 and a 60. I think there was something like that.
That sounds right. Like, we'll go with that.
You scolded me for giving it a low score, but you talked me down.
I mean, well, Keith made a good argument where he thought Housework is 78 or higher.
Yeah. Well, it's not that I was like, oh, I love Housework, but I was like, oh, I should really get back to that. More because I wanted a break. Not because I liked Housework more, but I just wanted to get away.
I feel like a lot of your ratings, you're afraid you're like offending the developers and they're crying or something like that. No, your honest opinion, you just didn't have fun with it. There's nothing wrong with it.
I also will say, I agree with you as far as it being a nice little time capsule, but I still think that goes back to, you really got to want to play it for the pureness of it, not for the gameplay. And just, I don't know, that's my, but anywho, Liz,
yeah, give us some more scores. Looking at Metacritic, and I want to say that most of the reviews were between 2014 and 2017, so there's a couple years gap. So 68 from critics, 6.9 from users, so they were kind of dead on with each other. And it's always so weird to see critics give games like less than 50, which they did with this game. But a critic who gave it a 65 said, with all of its upgrades and love, Fable Anniversary really is the original Fable in a brand new suit, warts and all. And some phrases that I saw, there are a lot of reviews. A lot of people said it was like a lazy attempt, awful voice acting, bugs, poor frame rate. And I do want to say that our fourth co-host has struck again.
Yes!
I forget what year his was. It was either 2014 or 2017, I believe. But he gave it a 1. Can you guys believe it?
Whoa.
Not a 0, 1.
Oh.
So the first little quote.
Out of a million.
The first little quote that I took from it. And remember that this is a Google translation because it's from in French. Part of my language. He said, with shit, you can only do shit. Words to live by, am I right?
Apparently that's enough for a one.
This is mature now.
And then the second little thing that I took from it, then comes a linear and silly content. So silly to make Japanese role-playing games die of jealousy. And he made a comment about the farting, wow. But the translation didn't really make a coherent sentence. But he did mention the farting.
That's what the one point was. He enjoyed the farting.
Yeah, but I do like that I can fart.
But I feel like he always has to have a jab at somebody, and this time it's the Japanese role-playing games.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a weird context, because
JRPGs are Japanese, so different. They're really different.
They're so far different, for one, and also, am I wrong to say that they're widely regarded as some of the best RPGs out there? Like, no, they definitely Final Fantasy VII falls under that category. Yeah,
Dragon's Quest.
Yeah, like, that's a weird, weird jab and a weird crossover, other than they're both RPGs.
Imagine if, and it would never happen because if, you know, you don't get a ton of listeners or anything, but imagine if he somehow found out that he was a part of this podcast and reached out to us and was like, hey guys, like, let me do an episode with you. I think that would be so much fun.
It would be interesting.
Oh my goodness. That would be a time.
Do we have
I just
listeners?
Hope he doesn't have to cut into our earnings.
Yeah.
All zero of them.
Shh. Oh yeah, because he could be French Canadian. From France.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where we have
French
listeners.
French Polynesia.
Yeah, I don't know where we have listeners, but I wonder if there's any French-speaking listeners.
There's parts of Vietnam that speak French, so.
Oh, I didn't know that. You learn something new every day, guys.
Anyway, I'm going to start wrapping this up. But also, speaking of our listener, make sure you check us out on Facebook or our Twitter at GPGPpod or Facebook at Game Pass Grab Bag. Because we would love to get some ideas as to what we should give this person a nickname. Because instead of just calling them the French type in person, we don't know. Feel like we need to give them a name.
Yeah, that's a weird way to put it.
I don't know what else to put it.
And do keep it classy.
Keep it classy, y'all.
We are a classy podcast.
But we also have a PayPal set up on our Facebook if you care to support us at all. We are also on YouTube at Game Pass Grab Bag. Or you can also write us an email at gamepassgrabbag@gmail.com. I've been your Arcor Gamer host, Andrew. You can follow me on Xbox Live, FirebirdZ1MF2. I'm also on Twitch at twitch.tv/FirebirdZ1MF2.
Did you say something about Twix in there?
Twix, indeed. I'm on Twix.
I hate Twix. Worst candy ever.
Left or right?
It's not the worst.
It's the worst.
Three Musketeers is the worst.
No, I'd rather Three Musketeers.
I'm a right Twix guy. No, Baby Ruth's pretty bad.
Okay, I've always wondered. What qualifies? Wouldn't it be why is it right or left Twix? Wouldn't it be up or down Twix? Because the way you look at the wrapper, they're both parallel. So what makes which one's right and left? Wouldn't they be up and down?
So I've been Keith and I've been on my phone. Liz.
Sorry, you don't want to answer the hard-hitting questions.
Who cares? Eat a Reese's. That's what I have to say.
That's not a candy bar, though.
How does it not cost? It's in the candy bar section.
It's in the candy section, not candy bar section.
They do have the Reese's.
Oh, fast
peanut
break.
Butter Rageous or something. There's that. Yeah, fast breaks are gross.
Oh,
no, you gotta get
fast
the
one that's delicious. Serious? Anyways, I'm right, and I'm Liz the Noob, Gamertag, coming on Dino on Twitter, @LizTheNoobNoobBZW.
Wait, you're Twix, right?
No, I'm right, and I'm Liz the Noob. I'm sorry, Twix? Over a fast break? Where's the hidden camera, guys?
Well, y'all have a good night.
Bye.